Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and this is a quick shot of romance. And today I am joined by Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
Okay, so on this quick shot of romance, we are reviewing What Happens at the Lake by Vi Keeland. We'll link the synopsis of the book in our On the Shelf show notes at buzzingaboutromance.com. So this book was released January 13th, 2024, which I still can't believe we're in 2024.
I know.
The tropes are small town, grumpy sunshine, neighbors, so close proximity, after sports, hockey, construction renovation, and there is mental health rep. And this is a standalone, and so there's no series. It is dual first person point of view, and the put out percentage is 53%. So there's a little bit of a slow burn, but not super bad. And there is an audiobook. It's Sebastian York and Andy Arndt. I did not do this one, but I have listened to books with them together, and their voices blend pretty well. And there is a third act breakup in this one, and it's pretty intense the way it happens.
Yeah, I think the whole section's a little intense.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk What Happens at the Lake. So this is about Fox and Josie.
Yes. And they have a hilarious meet cute, I think.
I do like their meet cute. So Josie is she is leaving New York. She's going to small town South Carolina.
I don't know if she ever says, but it sounds like somewhere in the between Virginia and South Carolina is the way it's described.
Because later in the book, the live-in housekeeper is moving to South Carolina, and she's only a couple hours away.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, it probably tracks, but it's North Carolina.
So, but she doesn't actually say where this small lake town is. And it is a lake town because like they live on the lake.
Yes.
Hence the title. But so she's not super clear like where this one is. But anyway, we digress. So Josie is leaving New York. She's going to this lake town. She had inherited this house from her dad when he passed away years ago. And she has went through a lot of mental upheaval in her life. And so she takes a leave of absence from work following basically a mental breakdown after some stuff that has happened in her work life. And she is driving. She's tired. She runs over a mailbox and then she meets Paul Bunyan.
Yes. Paul the Peach Bunyan, as she likes to call him.
Yes. And she has a hankering for peaches after that. But you have to read the book to find out why she has hankering for peaches. But if you have ever listened to us, then you know why.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, so they don't have the best meeting because Fox is very... He actually borderlines asshole in this book. Like,
he does, yeah.
Like, he is grumpy, and this is true grumpy, but he definitely... toes the line of that not grumpy state. But as you read the story, you learn more about Fox. Like, he's just very stuck.
He is. I mean, and he's had a lot happen in his life. So when you figure out the whole timeline and everything that's happened in his life, it makes total sense.
It does. And it's not like he's physically stuck. It's not like he's not living life. Like, he owns a successful construction company. He doesn't really have a much of a personal life. Like, he's not celibate. Like, he goes out, he does his thing. But he's very single-minded in his focus.
Yeah, I would agree.
But then we have Josie, who she had a loving dad who ended up passing away when she was 13, and her mom is very cold. She's very focused on career, and career is everything to her.
Yeah, and she is a surgeon, I believe, right?
Yeah, a neurosurgeon.
Okay.
And so, but she's kind of pushed this thought process on Josie, who becomes actually a successful like scientist. Like, she works in pharmaceutical like research, but
she does.
There is a what she is working on doesn't work, and it has really adverse effects on the study itself, which I think you need to read that part to kind of understand why she had the break that she did, which 1000% can understand why she did.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, yeah, it's definitely something people need to read for themselves.
And honestly, if you don't have a little bit of a mental break after something like that happens, you are a monster. But so she, after this happens, like she goes into a treatment facility, she's going through therapy, she's continuing that therapy, which I think is a really important part of the story that, like, after you leave such a place, like your treatment isn't over. Like it's
No.
important to follow through.
And she is. She's working on it. She's getting away and trying to take care of herself, removing herself from not only a work situation, but she's also had like a personal situation at the same
Oh.
time. So she has a
Yes.
ton of stuff going on.
Yeah, so her life kind of imploded all at the same time. But it's one of those things where she's very independent, she's very capable. Like her situation did not make her this like bumbling mess of chaos who isn't able and willing to move forward. And I think that is it's really important to see that side of this character.
Yeah, I mean she's taken it upon herself to like completely move to another town and, trying to figure her life out. So, she's being proactive.
She is, and I really enjoyed like her storyline. And so we find out that she had this old phone book from the town, and so throughout the years she has been sending Christmas cards to like random people. Like she's working through this phone book. It's an old phone book, so like some people like reply, some people don't. But she has been sending Christmas cards to random people in this town like for years and years and years. And I think that's such an interesting element with like that she has this connection to a town she's never been to.
Yeah, I really like that piece of the story. Like the Christmas cards are just, I think that was probably my favorite part of the story, actually.
Well, and they really, there's a moment like in the third act breakup where like something happens with the Christmas cards, and Fox is like, oh man, this
Now I
was worse
know.
than I thought.
Yes, yeah.
And I thought that was really the kick in the like the ass that he needed.
Yeah, it really was. That was when he kind of just he's like, yeah, no, I know I messed up. So
Yeah. I mean, he still doesn't do anything about it after that because he's a dummy, but it's like he realizes like how much he truly broke her. But this story, it's not just about Josie and Fox's relationship. It's about Fox's past and like a lot of the circumstances surrounding things that happened in his past that have made him like he's all like he even says he's always been kind of the standoffish, like grumpy person because of things that have happened. And like that's just how he is. But like, I think it's 3 years ago, like before the story happens, his fiance passed away, which they talk about like fairly
yeah.
early on, but the circumstances surrounding her passing, like, is not the best.
No, and that's a difficult piece to read. So I think Vi has, does she have trigger warnings about that at the front?
I don't know. I don't really look for trigger warnings, so
I meant to, I forgot.
here, let me look real quick. But it's one of those things, and honestly, if you've ever lived through a loved one or somebody you know who has lived through this situation or somebody with this, with those types of, and no, there's no trigger warnings at the beginning of it.
Okay.
It's painstakingly real
It is.
and very like, it's eye-opening to the fact that like the behaviors are true to form with some
Yeah.
people in that situation. And I know I'm being kind of vague about the situation, but it's one of those things like you need to read it. And the way like, and typically I'm not a big fan of the flashback. Like I don't always like it, but I feel like it was important to show those flashbacks in the real time instead of him telling the story. Like telling the story of how things happen, like you wanted to see those emotions and events
Yeah.
like in real time.
I think it was much more impactful the way that she did it. If he had just been telling the story, I don't think you would have quite gotten why he was so closed down.
I agree, and I think that that's one of the things that sometimes authors, like with the flashbacks, like it's not always important to see it in the flashback. But I feel like if Fox was telling the story, it wouldn't have been as emotionally like jarring almost for the reader.
I agree.
But so the two of them, like there's a lot of push and pull. Like Josie like goes into this whole situation very open-minded and is like, if he's not going to pursue something, that's fine. Like she understands, but he keeps pulling her back in. And like she even tells him, like, when like she's ready to leave, like I was okay with like the status quo, but you weren't. And so you made changes, but then you weren't okay with those changes.
Yeah, I mean, she's very self-aware and she's, honest about where she's at and where she thinks they're at. And yeah, I think he can't reconcile himself to the fact that he does not want to let her go.
I think that's a big thing. Like he's so set in his ways and he's so set in being alone and he's so set in the fact that it's his fault that these things happened in the past, which it's not. But I mean, anybody who has experienced something emotionally traumatic like that, like there is a lot of self-blame. It's this situation that really neat like shows him that he is better with her than without her.
He is.
But I do love this small town a lot.
It definitely has its own character in this book.
Yeah, the town itself is definitely like one of those books where, like, without the gossip and without the connections and without the people of this town, like, the book would not have transpired the way that it did. And I think that's really important for this specific story because the town itself is such an important part of Josie's story.
Yes. And then, I mean, I think it ends up being an important part of Fox's story as well, because, his family is there and that's kind of, it's part of how he heals, I think, eventually, his family and his friends.
Yeah, definitely. But it's one of those things where like, so at one point, like she even says like she can't picture him anywhere else. Like he is this town and like this town is him. And she realizes like as the story progresses, like how comfortable she is there and how much more aware she is there and how this town is the first time she's really felt at home and at peace.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it wouldn't be the same without the town.
It wouldn't be. I do want to read a quote that I highlighted though, because it just was really like resonated with me. But I have to pull it up for a second. Hold on, just a second. It says, "Trust is fragile like a mirror. Once it's broken, it's shattered. Even if you put all the pieces back together, you'll always see the cracks. It's never the same. Besides, I've learned a lot about myself for the last few months, and I don't think we were as good as a fit as I made myself believe." It's just so poignant the way that she writes that.
Yeah, and I think there are several moments in that story that have that same kind of feeling. It's a very poignant story all around, I think.
It is, yeah. I did have a couple hangups though.
Same.
So, in the beginning of the book, she gets to this house and like it's not a small fixer-upper as the real estate agent has led her to believe. Like it's a hoarder's dump. And
Yeah.
so she's like, I'm gonna fix this up. And it's like, I'm fine with that. I'm all well and good with that. But girl, like, says she rushes around with a wood pallet. I don't know if anybody listening has ever tried to pick up a wood pallet, but they are heavy as fuck.
Yes, they are.
Like, I cannot personally carry a wood pallet by myself.
No, I can't either.
Like my husband, who according to like people that we know is the strongest man alive, which he's not, but he is a strong person. He can like sometimes struggles with the pallets as he's moving them. And I'm sure that your husband can probably not like just rush around with a pallet like it's.
No. And I even mentioned it to him when I was reading, and he was like, yeah, no, that would
Yeah.
not happen.
No. And he was also like moving full-size pieces of sheetrock.
Oh yeah, no way.
I can't do that.
I mean, and she and Josie's described, I mean, she's described as kind of a smaller person. I mean, she's
Like
not, you know,
five foot
shorter.
nothing, 5 foot
Yeah, I mean,
nothing.
and you're not getting your arms around a piece of sheetrock to hang it by yourself if you're a 5 foot tall person.
No. I mean, and honestly, you would not think a piece of sheetrock is heavy, but they are also really heavy
They
and
are
they're
very
big
heavy.
and they're cumbersome because they are 8 foot long. So
Yep.
you're not, if you're 5 foot nothing and like do Pilates, you are not picking up a piece of sheetrock by yourself and
No.
trying to go up a ladder. But aside from that, I was okay with the rest of it. Because like I mean there are ways for you to hang sheetrock by yourself like on a wall, like it is possible, it is not
Yes.
easy, and I can understand her saying it took her 6 hours to do it, but yeah, I was just like really really a pallet, I'm rushing around with a pallet. But
Small
anyway,
things, very, very small, minor things,
and
but
it's
yes.
and honestly, like if I wasn't married to somebody who did like contracting and like house like construction for like years and like works, he's like a laborer now, it wouldn't have bugged me because I wouldn't have known the difference.
Same.
But also we had pallets like in our yard last year, so like I know, because that wood is it is not easy to move.
Nope.
That's just a side thing. But so, do you have a book you think we should review for a quick shot of romance? If you do, send us an email at thebees@bookcaseandcoffee.com. Thank you, Amanda, for joining me on this quick shot of romance.
Thanks for having me.
And if you get a chance to read What Happens, like you should. It is a good read. It's an emotional one. Just give it a try. If you haven't read Vikingland, you are doing yourself a disservice, people. But anyway, until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.